Good morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of our sermon series on the Gospel of John. During Lent, we are journeying together through this beautiful gospel, paying attention to the unique ways that John helps us see who Jesus truly is, the divine one who brings light and life to the world. Since John's gospel is full of symbols and rich with meaning, if you read just once and then put them down, it's not worth it. So it is a gospel that invites us to slow down and ask questions and see with flash eyes. The more time we spend with it, the more truth we discover. Adam Hamilton, who wrote the book named John, The Gospel of Light and Life, offers us a helpful comparison. He says that John's gospel is a bit like one of Vincent van Gogh's most famous painting, The Starry Night. When we look at this painting, most of us focus on the soaring skies and the bright moon and the shimmering stars. But have you ever noticed the church is in the middle of the painting? And while the other houses in the town have light in their windows, the church is dark. According to Adam Hamilton's research, Van Gogh once wanted to become a pastor. And he briefly served in England as an assistant to a Methodist minister. And he even tried to go into the seminary. However, he was not able to pass the exam, so he volunteered as a missionary. But as you know, he was suffering with mental illness, and his mental health challenges made it difficult for others to accept him. So eventually the church told him that, "I'm sorry, I don't think you can serve here anymore." So that rejection shows up in his painting. Van Gogh saw and felt the light of Christ in the skies and the stars and throughout the town, but not in the church. The dark church reflected the pain of being turned away by the very community that should have welcomed him. John's gospel is like that too. The stories may seem simple at first glance, but when you look more closely, we find layers of emotion, challenge, and deep truth about who Jesus is and how Jesus brings light and life into the places that might feel dark or overlooked. And today's gospel lesson is a great example. And it is a story of the woman at the well, the one we may have heard many times. But today, I'd like to invite you to read this story again. And not through the lens of traditional assumptions, but with open hearts and fresh eyes. So before we go deeper, I'd like to invite Ken Lieberman to read the passage for us. As we listen, I encourage you to pay attention to the details, the setting, the background, and the conversations, and etc. And after the reading, we will walk back through the story together using a simple guide, the 5W and 1H. Who? What? When where, why, and how. Ken?
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 1 through 15. Please rise for the gospel reading. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Just a quick note, today's message is less of a sermon, but more of a Bible style. So if possible, I encourage you to open the Bible. The Bible is placed in the pew, the before you. And then let's reflect together by using a simple guide, the 5W and 1H. And then I will invite you to notice what you see and hear on the surface level. And then I will go deeper. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, let's walk through it together. The first question, who is involved in this story? You can answer. Who is involved in this story? Jesus, Samaritan woman. Jesus and Samaritan woman, the two persons. Actually, this was an unusual interaction for that time. Today, we wouldn't think twice about a woman and women speaking in public. But in Jesus' time, it was not common. Especially Jesus was Jewish rabbi, and this lady was Samaritan. That's why in verse 27 says, his disciples were surprised to find him talking with a woman. On the top of that, Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other due to long-standing cultural, religious, and ethnic tensions. And yet, Jesus reaches across that divide, and he initiated the conversation. Jesus reached out to her and asked her for a drink. This tells us something important about Jesus. Jesus does not see people with label: woman, Samaritan, outcast, or anything with their backgrounds. But Jesus sees people for who they are and meet them where they are. Let's move to the next question. When does this story take place? I can hear you. What? Midday. Midday. What? Yeah, midday. And the Bible says it happened at noon. Right. Noon. What's happening at noon? So noon has traditionally been interpreted as the hottest part of the day when most people avoided going out to draw water. Thank God nowadays we don't need to go to the well to draw the water. And then either we can buy the water or we can open the faucet and the water comes out. How convenient. But think about it. Those who need to draw water, they need to bring the big bucket. When they go to the well, it's empty, so it's okay. But when they come back, oh my God, heavy. The muscle will build up, right? So people, they might try to avoid the hottest day to draw the water. That was a traditional interpretation. So that's why many assume that the woman was trying to avoid other people, perhaps out of shame. Since Jesus tells her in verse 18 that she had five husbands in the past. But today, let's read this story with fresh eyes. We know that she had previously five husbands, but we don't know the full story. Probably she lost her husband by death. Or maybe she was divorced against her will. In the ancient world, women had very little control over their martial status. Living with a husband or a son would have left a woman in a vulnerable and insecure position. From this, we can assume that she went through a very tough life, and she still carries that burden. But it doesn't mean that she lived a shameful life. And also, the scripture says Jesus was tired because he had been traveling from Judea, and he was hungry. So that's why his disciples went out to get food. So here in this setting, we see two weary people, Jesus and the woman. They're meeting at noon, the hottest day. Oh, feels so hot. That means both are in need of rest. Both are in need of something. Maybe that is what noon represents. A moment when we are worn out and the time that we need some renewal. And often that's when something sacred can happen. Okay, let's move to the next question. Where does it happen? Outside the city. Outside the city. The city name is Sychar. And then the before Sychar, what does it say? What the Bible says? Jacob's well, right. Yeah, at the Jacob's well in Sychar. Sychar is the Samaritan territory. According to scholars, this was a surprising route for Jesus to take. Most Jews, since they didn't have very good relations, actually they treated each other like enemy. So even though they knew that going through the Samaritan territory, it would be shortcut, but they wouldn't do it. Just take a turn to avoid to meeting the people of Samaritan. But here we saw that Jesus, he didn't avoid it. He chose to go through Samaria on his way to Galilee. And he chose to stop. And he chose to engage with someone others would ignore. This reveals something powerful about Jesus. Jesus, he doesn't avoid hard places. He doesn't avoid people others overlook. He doesn't move around the people. He moves towards them and those who are hurting or left out. And Jesus meets them where they are to bring healing, renewal, and here, the living water. Next question. What is happening in this story? I can hear you.
Conversation.
Yeah, conversation. So Jesus asked her, can I have a drink? Right? And then the conversation takes a turn. Jesus offers her something she was not expecting. That was living water. In the Old Testament, living water was a metaphor for God, his presence, his grace, and his life-giving power. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God calls himself the fountain of living water. So when Jesus offers a living water, Jesus is revealing something profound, which is his true identity. I am the God, the source of living water. And he's the one who gives life that never dries out. Next question. How does the interaction unfold? At the beginning of the story, we hear the tension between Jesus and the woman. When Jesus asked her for a drink, she responded very in an offensive way. You are a Jew. Why would you ask me to give you a drink? She started a conversation with a skeptical lens, but later, her tone has been changed. And then Jesus, even though, you know, she responded with, you know, skepticism, but Jesus does not dismiss her doubts or skepticism. And with a gentle heart and patience, Jesus listens and he engages and he respects her. So when Jesus said, if you knew who I am, you would ask me to give you a living water. And then she said, you don't have a bucket, how would you get the water? So you see that the different conversations going on? But later, she changed her tone, and then she said, Lord, give me the water. So here, we can see that she moves from skepticism and questioning to desire and openness. This is the power of grace. When grace comes to us, we open our hearts, we open our ears, and we are willing to listen to the truth that our Lord gives us. And next question, why does this story matter? Because it is not just a story about the woman at the well, but it is a story for all of us. We all have our own thirst, our own longings, our own questionings, and our own places of dryness. Like the woman at the well, we may carry pain, disappointment, or the heavy burdens that life brings. We may be searching for truth or simply trying to survive. When we find ourselves in those moments, feeling dry, weary, and weighed down, remember Jesus, who reached out to the lady first. Even though she didn't ask, he offers her the living water first and help her to open her eyes so that she can receive the living water. So the same things happen to us. When we invite Jesus, our hardened hearts can be opened, and then we can receive God's grace in us. And then that grace transforms us, something in our size, so that we can see the true message that our Lord trying to give and trying to offer. And then we can also receive the living water that never dries out, but gives us eternal life. And this morning we celebrated holy baptism. And baptism reminds us that the water in this font is more than just a symbol. It is a sign of living water and a life that begins in grace, flows with the Spirit. And this water never runs dry. And as Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. So like the woman at the well, I hope all of us says, Lord, please give me the water, and that we have the eternal life. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for meeting us in our thirst and in our need. Like the woman at the well, we come with questions and longing, and you offer us living water. The grace that never runs dry, fill us with your Spirit. Refresh our hearts and renew our faith. Help us go from here ready to love, to listen, and to share your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.